Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Paula Berman is a Six Sigma Black Belt who has worked with quality systems at companies of all sizes and a range of industries. Her varied experience helped her develop a holistic approach to business process implementation and practical solutions for getting results. Her latest book is Successful Business Process Management, and it's published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. Paula, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Let's just jump in here. Why do we need to actually document processes anyway? I mean, nobody reads them. Let's be honest.
Well, actually, there are cases where people do need to read them, and it's really based on how high the stakes are. When you have something that lives depend on or that can cost you millions of dollars if things go wrong, you want your people following written processes. An example of that is every time you fly, I guarantee you the pilot of your plane goes through his checklist when he's doing his pre-flight. He doesn't just depend on memory because his butt's in the plane, they're with you. Similarly, if you have someone doing repair work on a very expensive system, you'll probably have them go through a written process every time. Even when people don't need to read the processes every time, it can still be useful to have them there to be referred to now and then. But besides that, there are a number of other uses. First of all, if you think you're going to want to improve the efficiency or the effectiveness of your process, you need to document it to figure out what it is you're actually doing and where you are currently. You want to document your baseline and then make your improvements and see how much you've improved. You also need to document your new way of working just to make sure that all the people following that process are following it in the same way. Another case where you need to document a process is very often you have a case where people who are working together think that they're all working the same way because they haven't really discussed it, and it turns out they aren't, and that's another opportunity for efficiency gains. So once you've got it written down, then you have the standard way of working. Finally, when you have a bigger process that's being followed by different people, different departments, or different groups, especially where the output of the process is used by someone else, then your process document serves almost as an interface agreement between those groups.
What's the difference between a process and a procedure?
That's a good question, and it's really part of a bigger point. There are a lot of words we have where they have a specific technical meaning and they've also got a general usage meaning. So I went and looked it up. In the Oxford English Dictionary, there are 6 different definitions for procedure and 9 for process. You want to make sure that what you say is actually what the other person hears. There is an official definition in the ISO 9000 standard that, of course, not everybody uses. But in that, it says, a process uses resources to transform inputs into outputs through a series of linked paths. A defined procedure controls a process or activity by telling you what exactly needs to be done and by whom. And in ISO, it says that quality procedures may be documented or undocumented. I think, though, that when you're having the conversation, you need to be clear on your definitions so that you and the people who you're talking to all have the same understanding. So in this book, I've defined process to mean that series of linked tasks that get you from where you are to where you need to be, and a procedure to mean the written document that says what to do to execute your process.
What information needs to be included in a procedure?
The very middle, the center and beating heart of a procedure is the process flow diagram. It's just a flow chart that says, okay, do this, do this, do this. And then either within that document or after it, you need something to say who's in charge of doing each part of the process, not by name, but by the role, you know, process user here or person in the procurement department, buyer, engineer, whatever. Once you have those, you've got the heart of it, and then you just need to give all the information around it, like what's the point of this process, what's the scope, what does it apply to? Is it, for example, you could have a procurement procedure that's only for purchases over $500, or you can have an engineering procedure that applies to all products or just some of them. You need to show when it was last updated and who owns the process. You need to show, you know, all the other informational stuff like definitions and acronyms and maybe what standards govern it and where you store your records. that's the basis of what you need to have in your document.
What does it mean to organize processes into a system? And why does this matter?
That's really one of the reasons I wanted to write a book. A fair number of the process improvements out there talk about how to improve a process as a standalone thing. I don't think processes are at their most useful when you look at just one of them. I think they need to work together in a system. A system gives you a picture of the business. It shows you an overview, and then you can trace down from that high level onto a more and more detailed procedure and eventually the work instruction that gives you every aspect of how to do a task. It shows you where the output of one process is the input to another process, so you can follow the whole life cycle of producing your product or your service. And this is what lets you see what process you actually need. It shows you where you've got two written documents that tell you how to do the same thing, so you've got redundancies and contradictions. It shows you where maybe you're missing a process and you've got a gap. And it shows you what the required inputs and outputs of your processes are. If you're doing a process that has an output that nobody is using, that's a waste of your time. Kill it off and gain in efficiency. Save money and time.
And what's the best way to organize a process system?
There are a lot of ways to do it, and there may not be one single best way. I prefer, usually, when possible, to stick from the point of view of the product. So, for example, for a typical product, you've got your market research, your detailed design and engineering, your manufacturing, procurement, distribution, and then customer support. You can do something similar with how you design and deliver a service if that's the kind of business you have. So I like working on that point of view. There may be other times where there's an applicable standard like one of the ISO standards or AS9100 in aerospace or an automotive standard. Sometimes you'll find it easier to organize your processes by the standard, though even then the standard usually is somewhat of a view of the process. What I don't like doing is organizing the processes in accordance with your org chart for which ones are done by which department. There's two reasons for that. One is some processes span multiple departments, and then it can be really hard to figure out who owns them and what they are. And the other one is every time you reorganize, your process system is suddenly out of date.
Now, once we make a process improvement, how do we keep from lapsing back into apathy and losing all of that efficiency gained?
There's really four steps. Embed it, own it, monitor it, and control it. We spend a lot of time improving processes and making sure they run right the first time and maybe working closely with the pilot group. But somewhere after that, you need to transition to operational mode. So you need to figure out who's going to own it then, who's going to work on it then. Make sure that someone is taking ownership and is going to keep an eye on whether this is working the way it should. Establish an owner. Have that owner figure out what exactly will be monitored. We talk about KPIs, key process indicators, which is data, so that you can see how your process is working. So what are you going to look at? Who's going to look at it? What do they expect the data to say? And what should they do or who should they escalate to if the data isn't as expected? Then if you have that owner and that monitoring, then you're able to control your process. You know if you need to make further improvements or if you need to do further training, if your improvements aren't working the way you expected, so something else needs to be done.
All right, we've been speaking to Paula Berman. She's author of a book entitled Successful Business Process Management. Paula, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.